Great music today, amen. And we are so blessed to have Tracy in church today, and look forward to Amelia. If you're new here, I'd love to tell you the story. She is a miracle, an absolute miracle of God, and we're just praising Him. God bless you, Tracy, and the whole family. I hope you're planning on coming tonight. Shannon has mentioned to you about our Christmas Eve service at 6 o'clock. The Pryor sisters will begin singing at 5 till. I've never heard them sing, and I think they've been singing a while together. And so I'm looking forward to that. It will be more than just special music tonight. We'll have some congregational singing, some scripture reading, a special communion service. It's just a good way to have Jesus as the centerpiece of your Christmas celebrations. If you have family in, bring them with you, and it will be very much worth your time coming and lifting up the name of Jesus. The story is told of a lady who at the late age of 65 had a baby. That would be a shock, wouldn't it? Her preacher came to her and to see her and the baby after they had been dismissed from the hospital. He sat down in the living room and he began conversing with her. He noticed that there was no baby anywhere. And he said something to her, "I can't wait to see your baby." And she said, "Let's first talk. I want to get you a cup of coffee and some cookies. We'll visit for a while, and then you can see the baby." About 30 minutes went by, and still there was no baby. And he said something to her again, "Can I see the baby now?" She said, "No. Let's just talk a little while longer." He thought it was a little strange. And so he visited a little while longer with her, and time came to the point that he was going to have to go. He said, I'm going to have to leave. Can I see the baby now? And she said, "No, let's wait until he cries." And the preacher said, "Well, why do I need to wait until he cries?" And by this time, she's a little miffed. She's a little embarrassed. She said, "Because I forgot where I put him." I can't imagine misplacing a baby. But I think that's what has happened for a lot of people at Christmas time. The baby Jesus, whose birthday we are to be celebrating, has somehow been misplaced. People spend a lot of time looking for what they think they want and never finding what they really need. They're shopping for the good deals, and they miss the good news. You see, Christmas is all about the good news of Jesus. I read that passage to you 3 weeks ago. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That was the angel's message to the shepherds on that hillside outside of Bethlehem. Now, I'm thinking, if your greatest need was for more money, probably the angel's message to those shepherds would have been something like this: "For today in the city of David, an economist has been born." And if your greatest need was for more pleasure, probably the angel would have said something like this: "Today in the city of David, I have good news for you. Today an entertainer has been born." And if your greatest need and my greatest need was for better health, I think the angel would have said something like this: "I have good news for you. Today in the city of David, a physician has been born." And if our greatest need was for better government, the angel would have said something like this: "Today the plan of God has been fulfilled for you. A politician has been born who will change the world." But God knew that our greatest need was not for more money. Our greatest need was not for more entertainment or for better health or for a better government. Rather, he knew that what we needed more than anything else was forgiveness. And so the good news to the shepherds and to us still today is that a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. This sermon that I'm preaching to you today is really the pivotal sermon of this entire Christmas series that we have been in. 3 weeks ago, we talked about the gift of joy that God wants to give to each of us. You really can't have true joy unless you have forgiveness of sins. And last week, Elijah preached to you about the gift of peace. God wants to give to each of us the gift of peace. But the truth is, you can't have peace, true peace, without having forgiveness of your sins. And so, as we talk today about forgiveness, I want to encourage you to be so thankful to God for this gift, and to know that this gift has not come to you without cost. It cost God dearly. It cost him his own son's life. And several times we have seen this truth written in Scripture, and maybe you can finish it out for me if you recognize it. The truth of Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Think about that. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And Jesus shed his innocent blood so that we could be forgiven. Before we can be forgiven, we have to first recognize that we are sinners. Bruce Larson, a well-known Christian author, writes in one of his books about a time that he was vacationing with his family in California. He and his kids were doing some bicycling on trails through the woods, and they came across this sign that said, Naturalist Camp. And Larson really didn't know what a naturalist camp was. He thought it must be some kind of environmental preserve area. And so he took his kids down that trail, thinking that they would see some pretty sights. And sure enough, they saw some sights, but different than what he had imagined. Before long, they had a group of bikers who came pedaling by. They were completely naked. Not a stitch of clothes on any of them. And he was wondering, what in the world are my children thinking? His little 5-year-old daughter turned to him and said, they're not wearing their helmets. Five-year-old. Innocent. We're not innocent, though, are we? Unless we're a 5-year-old. We're guilty. Every one of us are sinners. Not one of us is good. We have all fallen short of His perfect will for our life. By nature, all of us have a rebellious spirit within us against God. For a period of a couple of weeks here back in the fall, every time I drove over here from Fort Scott on Highway D, this direction, on Highway D, right at the state line, there's an S-curve. Probably most of you know exactly where I'm talking about. Every time, for 2 weeks, there was a little calf out of its fence in the ditch by the road. Somewhere along that S-curve, I was going to find that calf. The first time that I saw it, I was on my motorcycle. I slowed way down as I saw the calf ahead of me. It's a good thing I did, because when I got right close to that calf, it just bolted out in front of me onto the road, and as it hit the pavement, its feet just went out from under it, and it just fell right there in front of me on my motorcycle. And I had to just almost come to a complete stop and wait for it to get up and get out of my way. And so for the next several days, as I would come to that point, I was looking for that calf, and sure enough, I would find it. Somewhere along that S-curve, it was out of its fence, right there on the side of the road, and it was more than the first time that it bolted out in front of me. It almost seemed like we were getting to know one another. I would slow way down, and I would pass it and look it right in the eye, and it was looking at me. And then it dawned on me one day. I was looking at myself there. It's as though I was saying, that's me. That little calf is me, and it's you. Because every single one of us have this rebellious spirit within us. And there are boundaries that God has set for us. And we are determined to get outside of those boundaries, aren't we? We think that we know better. We think the grass is greener on the other side. And we just are determined to get outside of that fence line that God has set for every single one of us. God says, I want you to always speak the truth. Always speak the truth. And we say, God, how about if I speak the truth most of the time? We get outside of this fence thinking that we know better, when really we don't know better, and we don't realize that there is destruction awaiting for us outside of that fence. God says, I want you to forgive your offender. And we say, but you don't understand, God, what has been done to me. They've hurt me. Some people don't deserve forgiveness. And so we step outside of the fence. And we do that with so many things. We are selfish. We lose our temper. We gossip. We complain. We think bad thoughts. Every time we sin, we are getting outside of that boundary that God has set for us, and we do not realize that the boundary is there for our good. It's there for our safety. But just like the little calf, outside of the boundary we go, and we need a Savior who will come and deliver us from our rebellious spirit. And there is only one who can do that. And His name is Jesus. Do you know what the name Jesus means? We use His name every week. Do we know what His name means? It would be good for you to write this down. If you don't know the name of Jesus, your Savior, what that name means, it would be good for you to know that. It's the equivalent of the Old Testament name Joshua. It means Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. Jesus is the one and only Savior. He is the source of forgiveness. Could I, for a few minutes this morning, just give to you some verses from the Bible that will help you have a glimpse of God's forgiveness to you, if you will just seek it. And my point of frustration would be that we can't really dive deep into all of these verses, but maybe that's something that you can do on your own. But to just know that the Bible is rich with verses about God's forgiveness to us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Could I emphasize the word all in that passage? He is faithful and just. He is faithful and righteous to cleanse us, to purify us from all unrighteousness. Note, it's not the word some, there, or the word most. It's not saying he will cleanse you from most of your unrighteousness. He will cleanse you from some of your unrighteousness. No, it says he will cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. Don't swallow that lie that the devil wants to give to you, that God can't forgive you, that you're too much of a sinner, you're too big of a sinner, you've done too many bad things, that God can't forgive you. That's the lie that Satan wants to feed to you. And we need to combat that lie with the truth of God's Word. God's Word says that he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we seek that forgiveness. What we need to do is humble ourselves before him, confess our sins to him, and ask him for forgiveness. I'll be honest with you this morning to make a point. I have a problem of oily skin. Oily skin. And it does a number on my shirt collars and on my t-shirts. I am amazed when Cindy gives to me a package of new t-shirts. I'll pull them out of that package and they are so white. It's like, wow. And it doesn't take me long to lose that whiteness in my t-shirts because of this, the oily skin. And Cindy is constantly laboring over my t-shirts and my shirts, trying to keep them white when they want to become a dingy gray. And you say, that's gross, Kevin. Yeah, it is gross. And the only reason I'm telling you that, I thought about bringing you one of my t-shirts, and Cindy said, I'm glad you didn't do that. The reason I'm telling you this, the point that I'm making from this, is our souls are stained from sin. He has created us in his image. We are pure and holy before him as a little one, but it doesn't take us long to start staining our heart and our soul from sin. And there is only one launderer who can take that stain away from us and purify us from all unrighteousness, and his name is Jesus. Yeshua, Jehovah saves. And that takes me to Isaiah 1:18. It says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. Isn't that a blessed promise? The Lord is our great launderer. He is the purifier of our souls. Those stains that are a part of our sinful past, they are all washed away. And he makes our heart and our soul pure and white as freshly fallen snow, like wool, Isaiah said. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He will purify us. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How about this verse from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25? God is speaking through the prophet. He says, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I used to have a professor at Ozark that would say, God remembers to forget. God remembers to forget. I like that. He remembers to forget my sin. The prophet says he wipes out our transgressions. I have some pencils on my desk in my office that if I make a mistake with those pencils, I'll turn that eraser over, and for some reason, those erasers on those pencils are just not very good, and I'll try and erase the pencil mark, and all I get is just a smudge, and it makes a ugly mark on the paper or the calendar that I have. And so here a few weeks ago, Kayla was making a run to Walmart, and I said, "Hey, Kayla, would you pick up an eraser for me?" And she did. And now I make a mistake with that pencil. I pull that new eraser out, and I give it just a little scrub like that. I mean, the pencil mark's gone. It's as though it wasn't ever there. And that is exactly what the prophet is saying, that God, he wipes out our sins. He blots them out to the point that they cannot be seen. They are gone from our record, and they are gone from his mind. What is the forgiveness of God like? It's wonderful. He remembers to forget. He wipes out our sins and our transgressions. How about this verse from the book of Psalms, chapter 103, verse 12? It says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Note, the psalmist did not say that as far as the north is from the south, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You've probably heard this before, or you've figured it out on your own. If you go far enough north, you'll eventually reach a point where you start going south. And the opposite is true. If you go far enough south, you'll eventually reach a point where you start going north. But that's not the case with east and west. If you start going east, you'll never reach a point that you start or you find yourself going west. And so the prophet says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He is a great and wonderful Savior. In him we find perfect and complete forgiveness. I'll give to you one more Old Testament passage, and this really could be one of my very favorite passages in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. I want to read that to you from the New American Standard. It says this, "Who is a God like you, who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever." Aren't you glad about that? "Because he delights in unchanging love, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." I love that passage of Scripture. And really, what would be good for each of us just to be mindful of these verses on God's forgiveness, maybe you would want to make a list in the back of your Bible on a blank page that you have, and just have a topic here of God's forgiveness, and write all of these scriptures down that you can be reminded about God's forgiveness to you. And then as you read through Scripture yourself, you'll come across a host of other scriptures too on God's forgiveness, and you can add them to what we've looked at today. I want you to know from Scripture that God wants to do nothing more than to forgive you of your sins. That's what he wants to do. And from verse 19, it says that he cast our sins into the depths of the sea. And Corrie ten Boom used to say, he then posts a sign that says, "No fishing." Think about that. Our sins into the depths of the sea, and then a sign that says, "No fishing." We tend to want to go fishing for our sins that have been buried, don't we? We want to bring them back up to the surface and bear the guilt and drudgery of them all over again, because that's what Satan wants us to do. He doesn't want us to bury those sins. He doesn't want us to accept God's forgiveness. He wants us to be enslaved to our guilt for what we have done. God, though, forgives us, and then he casts them into the deepest parts of the deep, and they are gone forevermore. And if God doesn't go fishing for them, neither should we. We should let them lie. Just leave them there. They're gone. Don't bring them back up. And look what else he does with our sins. He treads our iniquities under his feet. And every time that I see this verse or think about it, my mind goes back to a number of years ago. I was standing in a tire shop in Fort Scott with my little 3-year-old daughter, Abby. And I was talking with a couple of guys. And one of them was smoking. And as he took that last drag off of his cigarette, he just tossed it onto the floor of the garage. And my 3-year-old daughter, Abby, let go of my hand, and she went over there to that cigarette butt, and she did like this. And she looked up at that man, and she says, "That's nasty." And I was about to wilt. Though my daughter had just spoken the truth. And I read that passage out of Micah, and I envision God with his foot on our sins, and he's doing this to our sins, and he looks at us, and he says, "That's nasty. I want to do away with them." That's the forgiveness of God. He is a great Savior, as is his Son Jesus. One final passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. The angel was speaking this time to Joseph. And he says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." What a gift. What a Savior. And if you're here today and you've never opened the gift of forgiveness, I want you to know it's under the tree this Christmas. And it has your name on it. That gift of forgiveness has your name on it. And it's a gift that you do not want to miss out on. I don't know of anybody that would decline a gift under the tree with their name on it. You wouldn't, would you? If you're there on Christmas morning and your family is opening gifts and there's a gift under the tree with your name on it, you're not going to say, "No, I'm not interested in that." No. You'd be like me. You'd be like anyone in this room. You'd be glad to receive that gift, and you'd tear into it and be thankful for it. God has a gift. The greatest gift of all, with your name on it, and it's called forgiveness. Open the gift. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the gift of forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus paid the price. And as we receive God's forgiveness, then so many other gifts can come our way through that. The gift of joy, the gift of peace, the gift of hope, the gift of contentment. thank you for forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.